The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. It's SB Nation Radio. All right, one of the most coveted jobs in college basketball is at the University of Kentucky. It is challenging. You have a very passionate fan base that demands excellence at all times. At all times. John Calipari has met that need. He brings in top-of-the-line recruits year in and year out, but he's always, always being considered for other openings. You might remember a couple of years ago, he was up for the Cleveland Cavaliers job to be able to coach LeBron James in the NBA. He already had a stint in the NBA with the New Jersey Nets. He was once a UMass coach. He led Memphis to the championship game where they lost to Kansas in 2008. And now he has been rumored to be the new head coach at UCLA, another storied program. How did Kentucky respond to that? Lifetime deal. Only John Calipari could spin it into getting a lifetime deal at the University of Kentucky. Well, what does that actually mean? Does it mean he gets to coach until he's 90 if he wants to coach until he's 90? Well, no. Very much similar to Peyton Manning was offered a lifetime deal with the Tennessee Titans, instead went to the Denver Broncos, is that you get to be an ambassador for the team. You get just to be on the payroll. John Calipari will get to stay with the Wildcats until he dies if he wants to. He wants to be in Lexington. He's been flirting around with other jobs because this is the kind of stuff that he wants. He's been given a number of contract extensions since he arrived at that school. And as I was saying yesterday, he gives Kentucky and has been giving Kentucky the best chance to win a national championship with his ability to draw in top of the line players. It always gives Kentucky a fighting chance. The tournament doesn't always give you the best champion, but if you have a team that is consistently in it and consistently getting high seeds, you have a fighting chance. And one thing about college basketball, you just don't know where the turn is going to come in your coaching hiring. Right? You can get turned down a number of times. And I don't think Kentucky wants to see this program take two steps back if the wrong guy is at the helm. They know they've got the right guy and a lifetime deal. Lifetime deal in Kentucky for John Calipari. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this week. We'll be breaking down teams from the Final Four Saturday in Minneapolis. But this story about John Calipari getting a lifetime deal at Kentucky. Ron, you made a really good question. So how does it work? Lifetime deal? What if, like, 10 years from now, you're Kentucky and you're like, Really? Oh, shoot. We locked this guy in? Now he's showing up late. He's not recruiting well.
Yeah, I mean,
he's eating all the donuts in the break room. I mean, we don't want this guy around anymore.
It's one of those things that I still don't get. I still don't understand with like college professors or teachers when they get tenure. Like
yeah, exactly.
You pretty much can do nothing wrong, and you got job security. I mean, it's almost like diplomatic immunity, and I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, like what happens? Let's say, and this is all hypothetical. Let's say John Calipari is involved in some massive recruiting scandal, right? Just it's like Rick Pitino on steroids. What happened to Rick Pitino on steroids? Like, it's the worst thing. And we're just like, how much does it cost to get out of a lifetime contract? Like, how much did he put in this new deal? How much will he put in this new deal to say, well, let's say in 10 years you really want to get rid of me, or five, or three, or two. It's going to cost you $50 million to buy me out. You have to pay me $50 million for me to leave. Now, here's the other thing that I read about this deal. There's no buyout. He doesn't have to pay Kentucky back any money if he does want to leave for another job. Now, not only does he get a lifetime deal, he still gets to leave and not owe them any money. But they really awesome. Love this guy.
That's awesome.
John is just a wizard. Him and his agent are wizards. Because here's the cool thing about it's like, and I don't know what goes on behind the scenes in terms of the conversation. I'm not privy to that. So I'm just in my own speculative mind. He just lets these rumors float. And then he's like, no, I don't want to coach LeBron James and the Cavaliers. That's not true. I like Lexington. I want to stay here. I want to coach the Wildcats. No, that's not true. And then they come back and they go, how about a contract extension? He goes, oh, you had me at hello. Yeah, sure. Contract extension, sure. Then the Knicks job. I don't want to coach the Knicks. Sure, it's a lifelong dream. But no, I'm happy here in Wildcat country. Are you kidding? Big Blue Nation? Why would I leave that? And they go, here's another contract extension. He goes, oh, okay, if you insist, UCLA, the same thing. Oh, I don't know. Bruins, UCLA. Why would I want to go to Los Angeles when Lexington is the best place in the world? How about a lifetime contract extension? Oh, you guys are too much. I, you know what? It would insult you if I said no, so let's sign it. Like, it's so played out. He's so good at this. He is just, I mean, he's just magnificent. And here's the funny thing about John Calipari. We talk about this with coaches. If you can coach, seriously, we said this yesterday, right? Fans don't care if you cheat. They just don't want you to get caught. They want you as a coach to do everything you possibly can to draw in basketball recruits, but they don't want you to get caught and they don't want you to embarrass the school. So you have to find a way to do it and be very discreet about it. John Calipari has made a mess everywhere he's gone, right? Everywhere he's gone, he's been a mess. Now, he hasn't done it to Kentucky yet, but he's left a mess everywhere he's been. And yet, he is rewarded with a lifetime contract at the greatest college basketball program, or at least in terms of perception, that is out there in the country, at the University of Kentucky. He has parlayed his failures in recruiting violations, et cetera, that schools have had to deal with after he leaves. He has been rewarded now with what appears to be a lifetime deal to stay at Kentucky for as long as he wants to stay. Now, he is a very good ambassador to Kentucky. That's the one thing that you want, right? You know, that Alec Baldwin quote in Glengarry, Glen Ross, always be closing. He's always closing on Kentucky. He's always selling you Kentucky. I mean, when I was at the SEC championship a couple of years ago, my first time that I covered it, I was amazed at how well he packaged his school, like how well he packaged the way he talked about Kentucky. And it just continues every step. Every time he talks about it, he talks about he said one time about Big Blue Nation. And I think they run it in an ad on the Kentucky radio network. He's talked about Big Blue Nation. He says, you know, the great thing about these fans is they're so into it. They're into it more than any other fan base. They watch the tapes of the games. They watch them more than I do. Now, that's probably not true. He probably really is a tape watcher. He probably really does prepare really well. But see how he sold that? if you're a Kentucky fan and you do tape the games and maybe you watch them again and you know the players and you know their tendencies and you know that this player likes to dribble to his left and take an off-balance jumper at the baseline and that's his go-to shot, or you know that this guy likes to spin with his right hand. Like, if you know that stuff because you watch that, John Calipari just offers you this great compliment, right? Oh, my God, you're as into it as I am. I'm the head coach of the Kentucky Wild. You are as into it as me. You watch more tape than me, and I'm the coach because you're so awesome. And if you're a school, that's half the battle right there. Like, it's not so much recruiting and winning and being part of a program. The other part of the battle is taking all the fans that you can, the big blue nation, if you will, or make it any fan base across the country, and welcoming in with open arms and reminding them how they're just as important to this as the players and he is. Like, without you, oh, goodness gracious, we wouldn't be successful. To come out of that tunnel in Name Your City in America in the NCAA tournament and to see an ocean of blue, my God, that's what carries us. To see Rupp Arena sold out like it is, that's what carries us. And he does such a good job at that. He's a master salesman, and he's a great coach, but he's a master salesman too, and that's part of the package. This is why, if you're Kentucky, and barring any major scandal that comes your way, he will be a great ambassador for your school when he's 90 years old. Like, you can see John Calipari as an old man telling these stories. I once talked to John Wall one time. I told him, John, you're going to be a great NBA player someday. And he said, Coach, not unless I can hit the jump shot from the right elbow. And I said, we'll work on it together. We spent hours and hours and hours working on that right elbow jump shot. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. And that's just one of many stories I have to tell you about Kentucky basketball. And people are like, wow. Tell me more, Mr. Calipari. What was it like in the old days? He'll be doing that forever. Forever. If he lives a long life, he'll be in Kentucky blue. I wonder now if you're like a coach, if you're a young coach, if that's what you really want. Like, I want to get a lifetime deal somewhere. Like, I love it here at good old State U. Can you lock me in for the rest of my life? Not only does he get to lock in for the rest of his life, he does get the flexibility of being able to go somewhere else. But all seriousness aside, listen, there's going to be a new change in college basketball. The one and done is going to start to go away. Guy's going to be able to go right into the league. It's going to start to disappear. When, I have no idea, but it's going to start to really infiltrate basketball. And these coaches like Calipari, like Mike Krzyzewski, and Krzyzewski's done it, they're going to have to go back to building programs up where you're going to have a point guard, for example, as a freshman, maybe getting a little bit of playing time, maybe takes over the program as a sophomore. And by the time he's a senior, he's really running the show. He's running your offense the way you want it. And everything's going to blend and pieces are going to be put into the big picture of what your program is going to look like. The struggling part about one and done has always been the continuity, right? When you bring in big time players that are only going to spend one season, it is really hard to build an identity that lasts, that you build upon, right? I mean, that's the difficult part. Now, you don't want to give up these players. Like, you're never going to give up Zion Williamson because he's going to disrupt what you've been building. That's insane. But the reality of it is that once these coaches don't have the one-and-dones to play around with anymore, once they realize, hey, I can take a kid, it's probably going to need 3 years of development in my program, and boy, those 3 years are really going to be progressive, that's when you really start seeing John Calipari work and Mike Krzyzewski work. And Krzyzewski, for years, had done it. I mean, forever and a day had done it. That's one of the reasons he had so much success, is because he built teams that you knew year in and year out were going to be tough. Oh, Bobby Hurley's coming back next year? Oh, boy, it's going to be really tough. Christian Laettner stayed all 4 years? Oh, my gosh. I think Grant Hill stayed for three, right? You've got to deal with these players year in and year out. It's tough, and that builds championships. So we'll see in the end how good that is. All right, 800-777-2907. Yesterday was April Fool's. Some pranks that went well and some pranks that were lame. I got one of each example for you coming up next, and both in the NFL on SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So two April Fool's jokes yesterday. Tom Brady, I'm going to retire and tweet. Is that not the lamest April Fool's joke that we have out there?
It's a lot of thought process in that, Tony.
I mean, come on. You know what would have been better? If he said he tore his ACL. Like, what if he did that?
Playing with his kids in the backyard.
Exactly. But don't tweet that. Have somebody else tweet that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have
be in on it with, like, a Boston sports writer.
Yeah.
Who makes the announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody, right? Maybe somebody on the team goes, oh, my God.
You know what would be great? I mean, just team up with Adam Schefter on this one. Brady exactly. Just goes to Schefter and go, hey, listen, you're going to be in on this joke with me. We're going to have a little bit of fun.
Don't say you're going to retire. We know you're not going to retire.
Yeah, you know Schefter would be all over it.
Yeah, Schefter would totally be all over that.
God, he would have so much fun with it. And that way, you know, yeah, say, hey, oh, breaking news. Tom Brady tore his ACL. All of Boston would just burst into flames.
Oh, my God, yeah. Could be done forever. Right? Do something like that. Because when you say you're going to retire...
jeopardizing his lifetime contract.
Yes. And if you say you were going to retire and it's April Fool's, easy, easy. But if you got it staked out, you do it really well, people kind of forget the date, they don't even, oh, my goodness, they're all a buzz. Then you get people going, oh, I gotcha. But, like, that's such a lame joke. Now, the one other joke that worked out really well, did you see what Sean McVay did to Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, that one.
This is the best. This is the best. This is really, really clever.
And this is why we need young coaches.
This is exactly why we need young coaches. So, Sean McVay and Cliff Kingsbury were having dinner with Patrick Mahomes, okay? And McVay thought it would be funny to prank Cliff Kingsbury because Kingsbury's coming in from the college game into the NFL and may not be aware of certain rules and regulations that the league has in place. I mean, my God, who knows them all? You could be in the league forever and not know them all. Apparently, Bill Belichick didn't know you couldn't steal signals, right? I mean, I don't know how I was supposed to know. The rule book is so big. It's like a phone book. Nevertheless, so what McVay did, which was really smart, was he had a friend of his. He put a number in his phone that said Roger Goodell, and it was his buddy. And his buddy texted him when they were having dinner with Patrick Mahomes as Roger Goodell. And in the text, he chastised McVay and Cliff Kingsbury for having dinner with Mahomes, saying, this is tampering. I'm very upset, and you guys are going to be losing draft picks. So McVay played it off nervously and handed the phone to Cliff Kingsbury, who started freaking out because he got the number one pick in the draft. I want to be there to see, like, I want to be there. He said he would turn white as a ghost. I wanted to see that moment of pure panic of, I have no idea how I'm getting out of this. What am I going to do? That's the best. That's what you want. You want to get your buddy into a point where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. The quote said, I can't believe you're at dinner with Kingsbury and Mahomes. You know better than this. This is tampering. You're both losing picks. He said, I showed Cliff the text. He looked like he saw a ghost. He thought he was going to lose the number one pick. He urged Kingsbury to call general manager Steve Keim to tell him the bad news. We couldn't let it go too long. It was pretty good. We got him good. I was talking to him and at the owner's meeting when I saw him, was pretty proud of that one. That's great. That's fantastic.
See, why isn't that one on video? We always get the lame ones on video.
Yeah, why not?
I want that one.
Why not? I've had a few moments of pure unadulterated panic in my career. And there's no worse feeling, man. There's like that feeling of just dread.
Yep.
Like, it's just the worst.
Speaking of April, I got to give it up to my wife yesterday.
What did she do?
I completely forgot. I mean, it was simple, but, you know, something, you know, we weren't. I totally forgot that it was April Fool's.
Oh my God, we did a whole bit on Sid Finch on the show yesterday.
Well, I mean,
how quickly did you forget?
Very quickly, apparently. You know, she's coming back from the store. My oldest is coming home from school, and you know, we're getting the groceries out of the car, and she's like, and she's just in a panic. She's like, "Kaden, what are you doing? You got to get ready for baseball." And I mean, it was something so simple, and I sat there. I was like, "Oh my God, you know, yeah, we're gonna be late." It just, I'm all of a sudden, I'm not in on the joke. I'm trying to rush him and get him going, and he's got this panic in his eye, like, oh my God, because he hates being late.
So she did that to your son too?
Yeah,
like he wasn't in on the joke.
She got both of us immediately.
Wow,
and it was
that is pretty awesome.
I mean, it was probably something she just thought of in the car, like on the way back. She's like, how can I get them? Let me just do this, throw it out there.
And wow, good for her.
Yeah, she did it.
Good for her. That's pretty cool. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Not bad. Yeah.
Got us. I was like, sat there. I'm like, man, usually that's my day. I didn't do anything yesterday.
Well, yeah, I know. Me too. I'm right there with you. I did not get punked at all because, I don't know, my wife either forgot about it or didn't have anything cleverly planned or just said,
yeah, it's hard on a Monday.
You could roll more easy into the April Fool's
We're all just trying to get through Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You got a case of the Mondays.
God loves Sean McVay on that one. What would Cliff Kingsbury do? Like what if they let that go for a while? What if they got Steve Keim into that joke too and he was screaming at Cliff Kingsbury for this? Oh man, is it, can we appeal? Can we talk? I need to talk to Roger. I don't know what to do. We lost the number one pick. I didn't know we weren't supposed to go to dinner with Patrick Mahomes.
Take it a step further. We were just doing it with Tom Brady saying he should have got, you know, Adam Schefter aboard. What if they got Roger on board?
Oh, that would be great too.
Like Sean just goes to Roger and say, hey, listen, you know what? Everyone thinks of you as like the emperor.
Yeah, exactly.
Show a little light side.
See, like we were talking about that with the Sports Illustrated Sid Finch story. What made that such a great April Fool's joke is that the Mets were in on it. So the Mets provided anything that they wanted for the, like scouting reports, official stationery, pictures. The players were in on it. Like we're gonna shoot you with a holding your hand like it hurts. Like we're gonna do all of that. So the Mets were in on it, and so they made it better. Like that prank with Sean McVay would have been great had it gone. It had gone to 11, just to use a Spinal Tap phrase. Like if they got Roger involved in it and they got the media involved in it and all of a sudden Cliff Kingsbury is panicking and now reporters were calling him, asking him if they were going to lose the pick. Kyler Murray was quoted as like, I wanted to go to Arizona, but I guess not. Now I don't know who's going to take me. like just everything. And Cliff Kingsbury, there were articles that started popping up. Should they fire him now and save face? Like it would have been great. It would have been great. And then he's panicking and he's in like he's in his hotel room and he's drinking a whole thing of vodka. Like, I can't kill the pain. I can't kill the pain. I just ruined an entire franchise of my entire career. And Sean McVay comes, April Fools, it's over. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. With balloons. You get to keep the number one pick. Wasn't that awesome? I got everybody involved. The whole fan base, the whole city, the mayor, the owners. Everybody's involved in it. Ha, ha, ha. Welcome to the league.
Let's think about this for a second. What's your overall goal when you're first hired? Is to impress everybody.
Absolutely.
Prove that this wasn't a mistake, to prove that they made the right hire. And if you go out and just, you know, jeopardize, you know, big ticket item number one.
Yeah, right?
Don't screw the pickup. That's all
I didn't know. I didn't know. Oh, my God. I'm so upset.
Boy, that must have been that feeling, though, of overwhelming panic. That's a weird, weird feeling. People don't get that very often in their life, that overall sense of dread.
Yep.
Like because a lot of times, you know, you're in positions where you're under stress, but you're not dread, right? Like if you're late. If you're going to lose your job, yeah, then you would. But if you're late knowing you're probably just going to get chewed out a little bit, okay. But most of it isn't dread. Like, do you remember that movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Where he had to get that thing into the court and somebody had taken it off his computer? Like, that's dread, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's panic. Like, very few people, you don't get that very often in your life like that. And he got it. He had that moment of, I'm not sure if this is true. And I'm freaking out because I could lose the number one pick. All sorts of crazy thoughts go through your head. Well done, Sean McVay. Well done. See, the Super Bowl hangover is obviously done for the Rams for him playing jokes on fellow coaches.
Well, that's the youngness. You're able to brush that off and say, you know what, we'll be back.
Yep. Hopefully. Bill Belichick would be like, I have no time. I have no time for April Fool's jokes. I don't even know it's April 1st. There's no days off. It's just the calendar is the same. I don't even know what day it is. If Belichick had lost that Super Bowl, he would have been, and anybody played a joke on him, bye. Forget it. He might have even fallen for the Brady retirement thing because he didn't know the calendar said April 1st.
No.
He didn't tell me.
No, he wouldn't.
Brady disappointed me because Brady needs to step up his game. That was lame. It was easy and it was cheap, and everybody predicted it. Right? Even we said that yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing you said is don't fall for the Brady retirement tweet.
Exactly. That's coming. Don't fall for it. And sure enough, it came. And I went, oh, boy. Well done, Tom. Well done. Come up with something better. Like you're moving to Brazil. Something like that. That would have been better. We're moving to Giselle's home country. We're moving starting tomorrow.
Taking a year off.
Taking a year off.
A sabbatical.
That would have been a good one. All right, coming up, more troubles for the AAF. It could be done soon as more comments continue to emerge.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Colbert. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help within 24 hours. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-471-2270. 800-471-2270. Now, there's a line in that movie Twister, the tornado movie with Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton or Bill Pullman, one of the Bills, that where they say, the tornado is coming. And he stands and he goes, it's already here. That's this feeling with the Alliance of American Football. When is it going to end? When is doomsday? It's already here. At least according to Tom Dundon, who is the majority owner after he agreed to invest $250 million of his own money into this project. Now, we talked to this about last week. He said that this impending doom of this league could be within days. He reiterated that point again on Monday, saying it could be days. Now, the league is on the stretch run. It was a 10-game schedule, and they've already played 8. And I know many of you kind of stopped paying attention to it, maybe after the first couple of weeks. Maybe you were into it, maybe stopped paying attention to it. But this is going to be a league that was going to try to become a league where young NFL potential players could hone their craft. Now, the XFL is coming next year. The XFL has kind of a different business model, but this one had a lot of people behind it, a lot of football smart people behind it. Bill Polian, we have Rick Neuheisel, Steve Spurrier is in this league, Mike Singletary is in this league. There's a lot of smart people. Daryl Moose Johnson is running a franchise. So there's a lot of smart people in this league, but they couldn't get past the high rising costs. And I said this before, and I'll keep saying it again. I don't understand what these people who invest in these leagues and organize these leagues, what do they think is going to happen when you launch something like this? Sports is an entertainment product. But part of what sports in its appeal is the passion behind it, right? If you love the Marvel movies, for example, and Avengers Endgame is coming out at the end of the month. Now, I'll be honest with you. Let's say Endgame comes out, this movie, and every single critic says, this thing is garbage. I got an advanced screening. I sat there for 3 hours. I wanted to poke my eyes out. It's so bad. It's the most disappointing Marvel movie ever. Oh my God, I couldn't stand it. That will not change my opinion on going to see it. I want to see this. I want to see the story end. I've liked the Marvel movies. I'll continue to like them. If every critic said don't see it, I'll still pay money to go to the theater to see it. because I have a vested emotional interest in the product. I'm not just going because I want to find a good movie to watch. I'm going because I'm invested in the product and I have a feeling that I'm going to enjoy it, or I have a feeling that it's part of my entertainment landscape that I must be a part of. It's the same thing with sports, right? You root for a team, and I don't care what team it is. You feel a part of it. You don't want to let it go. You don't want it going on without you. So you latch on, and you're emotionally invested. And if your team stinks, you feel it. If your team is great, you feel it. If your team is middle of the road, you get like, I need a movement either way. That's what this league doesn't have yet, but that takes time to build up. What did they think was going to happen? That everybody in Memphis was going to go absolutely bonkers for the Express? Or that people in Florida, because Steve Spurrier was coaching, would pay big money to go see the Apollos? There's no emotion behind it. There's no reason to care. There's no bragging rights to feel. That's what we get out of sports. This is one of the reasons why gambling, before it started getting legalized, was still a huge factor in people watching and enjoying sports. Because sports on its surface, when there's two teams on your television and you have no real interest in either one of them, it's really a hard sell. It really is. If like tonight, for example, Texas is playing TCU in the NIT semifinals. Lipscomb and Wichita State are the other two. Now, let's say you want to watch basketball tonight. To Texas TCU, does that entice you enough to sit down and watch an entire game? Now, it would if you had some money on it, or it would if you went to both of those schools, or it would if you didn't go to either schools, but you were a fan of either school. There's a reason to be behind it. This didn't have that yet. What did they think was going to happen? You need to be funded for years to get to a position where you start getting people to really care about it. This is what the XFL, this is how the XFL fell apart after two seasons. When its first went go around, they thought they could be a television program. They thought that they could be an entertaining television program, and that's all they needed to do. But it's not what you needed. You have to become a developmental business as a sports entity, meaning most of your funds are going to be paid. Most of your operating costs, the salaries, if you will, are going to be paid by the leagues who have vested interest in your existence to rehabilitate and develop players. And then the second thing you do is you got to find promotions. This is why minor league baseball is so cool, because people don't go to minor league baseball because they absolutely can't believe the Montgomery Biscuits are four games out of first place. The goal of minor league baseball isn't to win games, even though they keep scoring, keep records. It really is to develop players, right? That's just the secondary part. But the cool thing about minor league baseball is, what was the one we had made a promo out of? The fart can spray, the Florida laws, the yeah. Crazy laws, right?
Yep.
Like the Montgomery Biscuits had Millennial Night. Name your great promotion. This is why minor league baseball is great. Star Wars Night, Bring Your Dog to the Park Night, Game of Thrones. I mean, name them. There's a zillion of them. They come up with a zillion of them because they're kind of neat and they're kind of cool. And if you're not doing anything on a Friday in July and it's Star Wars Night and you like Star Wars, go see a baseball game and participate in the fun that they're doing there. Right? It's part of the joy. If you think you're going to invent a football league with all of its costs and it was going to stand alone and you were going to have people in Memphis losing their minds over wins and losses after 1 year, you're crazy. You might as well flush your money down the toilet. I'm going to be sad though if this falls apart, because I really liked its potential. I hope it's able to buck the trend. Our friend Ben Kercheval, who covers the league. Is it Ben Kercheval who covers the league?
Yes.
Yeah, right? He had an article I read this morning, earlier this morning, that talked about, hey, listen, there are other owners that are saying, no, listen, he's making these comments. It's business as usual. We should plan out. We should close out the regular season. And that's good. Get at least one season under your belt. Have a tournament, have a playoff, have a champion. See where it goes. Don't quit. I think he is. I think Tom Dundon is screaming to the high heavens it'll close it down and hopes that the NFL will go, whoa, 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 don't close it down. We actually could use you. Hold on 1 second. You're going to shut it down. Why would you shut it down?
Yeah, but we all know the NFL doesn't need it.
Nope. We talked about this last week. They don't need it.
They don't need it. They're not looking for a developmental league. Their developmental league pretty much is college football.
College football and your practice squad. So once they get you on the team and they don't really need you right now, they'll put you on the practice squad. And you get paid good to be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I think during the season you get like $5,000 a week or something like that.
Obviously,
it's not 52 weeks, but it's, you know, it's good enough for you to make a little bit of a living and then see what you want to do after that.
You probably don't get all the benefits.
Yeah.
But still. You're playing football.
You're living
a lifelong dream. And you're literally one injury away from getting the call up.
And the cool thing about it is you are around. If you're on a practice squad, you are around the decision makers all the time. You're not like if you play for the Broncos and you are on their practice squad, you are around the decision makers rather than if you played for the Broncos, they want you to develop with the San Diego Fleet. Then you're like, oh, I'm not around the decision makers on a daily basis. I'm down here. Hopefully they're getting my statistics and my game film.
Yeah, that's the thing. We talked about this as well, too. The thing that bothers me most, I guess, with the AAF is that they first came out saying they weren't a developmental league.
Right.
And now they're pushing, hey, we're a developmental league. But the NFL has already came out and said, you know what? What's the protection plan? Because if I send my guy who I really need on the practice squad, because he's next in line to be called up if, you know, guard number two goes down or guard number three goes down, he's coming up. What's my protection that if he was to, you know, tear an ACL in your league? And that's, they don't have it. They don't have that plan.
Exactly right.
It was never their model. It wasn't their model, I guess, until Dundon became a majority owner.
And then he wanted to jump in and realize where this was going. Yeah.
And he's
it reminds me when Isaiah Thomas bought the CBA. Remember when Isaiah Thomas bought the CBA? The CBA... For those of you who don't know, the CBA was this basketball league that was really pretty good. It stood on its own, and it had like teams in like Grand Rapids and Winnipeg and places like that. I think Winnipeg, but nevertheless, it was a pretty good league, right? It stood on its own. It was family fun, affordable tickets, et cetera, et cetera. When Isaiah Thomas bought it, he took all of the teams and he said, "Okay, we're all going to pool the money." And we're all going to split. So if you're doing really well, Grand Rapids, and Flint is not doing well, Flint is going to get a boost economically from your success because we're all going to share. It's like communism or wealth or socialism, whatever it is. And teams immediately, this didn't work because part of having a minor league system is you try a city, it doesn't catch on. You either dump the franchise, but you don't dump the league. Right. You don't have to dump the league. You just go, you know what? We tried basketball in Huntsville, Alabama, and it didn't work.
Exactly. So, yeah, I just don't. I'm really hoping that the AAF finds some way to, like you said, just finish out the season. That's all we need is we just get one season under the belt, see the championship, and then, you know, we'll just go from there and see what happens. It would be a shame if they can't just finish out one season. So, anyways, we're going to get more to it. You're listening to SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, right now, Tony is dealing with his own April Fool's prank. This is awesome. It's a day late, but I love the fact that, you know what? He's a gamer. He's gonna do his own April Fool's thing. That's fantastic. You know, there were other April Fool's pranks that I can't... that I really, really enjoyed. I mean, that celebrities did. There was one that Justin Bieber did that got everyone up in arms. And I don't understand why people would get so upset about why, you know, it's April Fool's. People were upset. I mean, you know, just have a little fun. It's a prank. We're supposed to enjoy these things. And I guess, I don't know, maybe it's fangirls all across the country were losing their minds over the fact that he tweeted out a photo of him and I wish I could remember his wife or girlfriend or whoever it is name. But anyways, they were he had a photo or the whole thing had to be staged because they were in they looked like they were in a hospital room and he you know it was to announce that they were pregnant. And Twitter lost its mind over this. And this is, for me, this is almost the dumbing down of America. This is the, I guess, you know, I'm a big fan of millennials. This is millennial just losing their mind over the fact that something so simple as, just, you know, like with Tom Brady, it was just so simple just to throw out a tweet and just say, hey, guess what? I'm retiring. This is all that was. And people just lost their mind over it. You know, just take a chill pill, America. It's just fun. It's a fun day where we get to prank. I don't know why we do it on April 1st. I'm not really sure why April 1st has been designated April Fool's Day. It's probably something I should look into to figure out why. But at the same time, it is what it is. You know, people will pull pranks, and that's what makes April 1st fun. It's just a bummer that it was on a Monday. You know, other things that happened on April 1st, you know, that we'll be getting into later, but there was, you know, different things, you know, people making announcements on April 1st. It's probably a bad day, and we're going to have that coming up in the next hour for the good, the bad, the dumb. There was a couple of announcements on April 1st that you probably shouldn't do on April 1st. You probably should just let it go. Maybe a day later make the announcement, or else people are just going to, you know, social media trolls are just going to blow you guys up on that day. There's a couple of really, really strange events that were announced, but there were a couple of events that were announced on April 1st. Whether it's true or not, we're going to go with the fact that it's true because no one came out and said, hey, April Fool's Day. That's what we need when it is April 1st, is that we need to be told that, hey, it's April Fool's Day. Some of these announcements, like I said, we're going to get into next. One being a concert, festival, if you will, that was announced yesterday that leaves me scratching my head, but I'm going to have that coming up in the good, the bad, the dumb. I can't wait to get Tony's reaction on this because I know he was a big fan of the first one. You're listening to SB Nation AM, Tony and Ron bringing you through the morning on SB Nation Radio.